doctors came over there, straightened it out, and it wasn't until I jumped on the cart and one of my teammates came over and patted me and told me it was going to be okay that the emotions really just started. And at that moment, I knew that, yeah, my season was done, and I just couldn't imagine that at that point, that the next few months I wasn't going to be able to do the thing that I love most. When I had the first surgery, it was an open wound, and they just wanted to go in there and do what they need to do initially. I thought I was going to be able to start rehab, and yet I had to go back under the knife.
So you had two surgeries?
Yeah, you know, we kept it down. Nobody knew that. And then it became a wishbone. Coming to camp, it was a feeling I can't explain. Just knowing that I'm healthy, knowing that I'm completely healthy. There was a season of adversity. Now I'm in a season of triumph.
That's Dak Prescott, star quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. That's a fifth-year starter in the face of the most valuable franchise in the National Football League. It's also a man who's been through a lot over the last 18 months of his life. Prescott, the unquestioned leader and the most marketable player on the most marketable team in the most marketable American sport, is at a crossroads in both his career and in his life as he begins the 2021 NFL season. You see, Prescott is not only coming off the loss of his brother to suicide in April of 2020, but the loss of his season due to a catastrophic injury last year. It's that adversity that sets the tone for this season of Hard Knocks. It's that man's voice, that man's journey, and that man's strength, both on the field and off, will be the difference in a resurgent Dallas Cowboys 2021 campaign or yet another disappointing one. It's America's team, it's America's quarterback, and it's another season of Hard Knocks. Welcome to the Hard Knocks podcast, a joint production of HBO Sports and NFL Media. My name is Peter Schrager. Monday to Friday, I'm the host of the NFL Network's Emmy-nominated Good Morning Football. I'm also now back for the third year in a row as the host of this podcast, where we'll be breaking down each episode of Hard Knocks, offering a little more additional insight than what you're getting just on the screen, and speaking to friends around the league and in the media who have more to add to the storylines that unfold. This week's guest on the podcast is legendary sports writer Ed Werder. Ed is one of the leading voices when it comes to access to the Dallas Cowboys and is a guy who spent three decades covering the team and its owner, Jerry Jones. You see, Ed has seen it all, from Troy Aikman to Tony Romo to Dak Prescott. He spans generations and he spans Cowboys history. We're going to get his thoughts on the state of the Dallas Cowboys and the Hard Knocks premiere in just a moment. But first, let's get to what went down in episode number one. As much as Dak Prescott is the story of the 2021 Cowboys season, he will always be in the shadows, as will any other player to wear the star on his helmet, to the team's owner, Jerry Jones. Most NFL franchises would start the season with a few comments from the quarterback, maybe the head coach, maybe a new assistant coach on the staff. In Dallas, it all begins and ends with Jerry, as it should. He's one of the biggest personalities in the NFL. Jerry Jones is also one of the most influential team owners in the game. He's also not afraid to step right up and speak his mind. Never shy for words, Jerry delivers with a season-opening press conference that may as well serve as the Hard Knocks season primer. Let's take a listen.
We're back. Here we are. We're back to business. We're back to training camp, getting this team ready to play. I would right now, if I could, and I knew had a good chance to do it, I'd do anything known to man to get in a Super Bowl. That's a fact. And I feel as driven as I was when we first bought the team. And I was scared to death then, I'm scared to death now. And so I do my best work, I think, when it's more positive. And so I need it to be promising, and I need us to have a way to go. That causes me to do stupid things, or it causes me to do excessive things that sometimes really work. I've had a lot of people tell me you're naive. Well, it's a beautiful world. It's a better world to be naive than to be skeptical and be negative all the time. But the thing that means the most to me and I care about, and I could probably be anywhere in the world, I want to be right now. I want to be here with our team.
There's obviously an urgency to this Cowboys season. Last year was dreadful, and everybody knows it. A 6-10 campaign that ended with a Week 17 loss to a Giants team that didn't even have its best player on the field. But before the football and before all the serious stuff, special teams coach John Fassel gives us a lesson on vasectomies. Yes, vasectomies. And reverse vasectomies. Seriously. Take it away, coach.
Okay, so when I got my vasectomy done, I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is going to be
a Did you lose your drive? Huh? I told my fiance, did you lose your drive? They said after
like,
you get
like sex drive?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Because then you didn't have to worry about those. And
facts.
Everything is exactly the same.
Oh, what? Oh.
What?
But check it out. So this thing that is called the vas deferens, so it's basically what takes the sperm from whatever, your balls.
Yep.
You know. So all they do is they just cut out a little section of the vas deferens and they sew it together so the sperm just can't pass through.
That's what they put it back. What if they put it back wrong and you leaking out the tube?
That ain't such a thing. So that's all. Nothing else.
They gotta sew it back.
Nothing else ever changed.
So they just put a little tube in replace of it, huh?
What's that?
So what happens to that little tube?
So when they reverse it, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so I actually don't even know what you did.
You gotta sleep it out, right?
But yeah, so when I got done the first time, I got snip, snap, boom, done. All they do is they just inject you and they kind of just numb.
And I'm thinking, the bones awake.
So I'm always talking. Oh, no. I'm sitting there like, kind of like a lady. Maybe
put me to sleep.
I'm sitting there and pants are down. And the doctor, he said, I've done this like 2,000 times. We're good. So he's talking about bike riding, he's talking about going for long runs, and I'm sweating, I'm like, in my head,
I'm
like,
there he is.
Stop talking. Balls in your
hands. He's like, 20 minutes and he was done.
Talking this shit.
Then when I got that thing reversed, it had to knock me out, and it was pretty much the same procedure, but.
Bro, would you have sold?
Thanks, Coach. Back to the gridiron. How do I make this seamless transition? Here it goes. Speaking of health issues, there's Dak. It's a surgically repaired ankle, a $140 million contract that he signed this offseason, and there are still a lot of doubters. But there is no looking back now. He is the guy. And just as we're getting excited with a Dak Prescott highlight reel from the first few days of training camp practices with beautiful passes and scrambling that looks like it's art, and poster-styled beautiful passes to his buddy Zeke Elliott at the end of practice, the reality of the NFL smacks us right in the face. It's Dak's shoulder, and it's injured. It's only a strain, but there he is on the sidelines, yet again, an all-too-familiar sight. The injury leads to the following exchange between head coach Mike McCarthy, the team's trainer, and Dak Prescott.
I mean, what's the gain to keeping Dak out here? What's the gain to keeping Dak out here?
He wanted to be out here. That's all. He said, I want to stay out.
Wait, should we get him in and examine him, start treating him? Or?
We want us to.
Why don't you go in and get it examined and get the treatment started? You know what I mean? I mean, I appreciate you want to be out here, but let's find out what we got. Yeah, I mean, you know.
I'd like somebody to go get some treatment in this song.
Okay, get them going.
Coach says it all there. And this is where we're at with the Cowboys in 2021. A quarterback whose figure is omnipresent, but whose presence is what's needed most. A freak shoulder injury at practice? Seriously? Welcome to the world of the Dallas Cowboys, where for over 35 years, veteran sports writer Ed Werder has come to expect the unexpected. To get a sense of where exactly we're at with America's team at this moment in time, I wanted to connect with the man in the media who may know this squad better than anyone else on the planet. When I reach Werder, it's a Monday afternoon, and he's fresh off two different trips to Oxnard, California, where the Cowboys are conducting their training camp. All right, Ed, when I had to think of the person in the media who I align with the Dallas Cowboys over not only the last few years, but decades, you're the first person that came to mind. And I figured for the first episode of Hard Knocks, who better to set the stage on the 2021 Cowboys, but also Cowboys as a whole, and why this season is so significant. So, Ed Werder, I welcome you to the podcast, but I also ask you, what are we expecting from this team, and where are we at, State of the Union 2021 Cowboys, as the Hard Knocks season kicks off its premiere episode?
Well, I appreciate, first of all, Peter, that you've offered me this opportunity and that my brand association is well aligned with Jerry's Football Circus, having them in my backyard for over three decades now. I would say, having been out to their camp now two times out in Oxnard and watching the Hard Knocks crew integrate themselves out there, there's no question that this is a really important season, you know, for Mike McCarthy as a head coach. His last 2 years that he's coached, his final year in Green Bay when he got fired during the season, and last year with the Cowboys, finishing 6-10, both times, you know, he had significant quarterback injuries, lost Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, lost Dak Prescott for all but five games last year. But given the 6-10, given the fact that he was forced to fire his defensive coordinator and friend Mike Nolan after just one disastrous season in which the Cowboys allowed the most points in franchise history, the franchise has been playing football for 61 years. So it's been a while. And they've never been that bad. I think there's a lot of pressure on Mike McCarthy, no matter how it turns out, no matter who's to blame. If there's not success, I think there'll be a very thorough reevaluation at the end of this season about whether he is the right guy going forward. You know, Jerry Jones did fire a coach after 2 years, Chan Gailey. He's always regretted it, but he has set that precedent. So now I think Mike McCarthy's got a really talented team on the offensive side of the ball. And I think hiring Dan Quinn to solve their defensive problems was a move in the right direction, and devoting the draft to the defense the way they did, I think they see themselves as the Kansas City Chiefs, quite honestly, Peter. They think that they can be great on offense and they can just be good on defense, and that will make them one of the elite teams in the NFL, that formula.
Yeah, and it's not a crazy formula to just be good enough on defense. But the first episode, and we've now seen it, it's a lot of Dak, and it's Dak where he's at in his life, Dak where he's at this season, Dak's health. But I ask you, this is now year five of Dak Prescott as the guy in Big D. Take us through the last 16 months of Dak Prescott's life and where you think he's at right now.
Well, obviously, you know, he had started 69 consecutive games as a fourth round draft pick to start his career. That's the longest in NFL history for a quarterback drafted in the fourth round or later. So it was a historic start. I mean, he comes in, he's there's no certainty that he's even going to make the team. He's viewed as a developmental player from, you know, Mississippi State, has played almost exclusively in the shotgun, gets drafted in the fourth round by the Cowboys after they failed to get several other quarterbacks earlier in the draft, including Connor Cook. And so they draft Dak Prescott. He's very fortunate in that at the time, Tony Romo is being carefully managed through training camp because of his recent history of injuries and missing games and a back problem. And so when Kellen Moore broke his ankle, now the current offensive coordinator, he was a backup to Dak Prescott in 2016 or to Tony Romo in 2016 when Dak joined the team. He gets hurt. Dak is now getting first team reps because Romo's missing a lot of practices as they kind of manage him toward the start of the season, which, oh, by the way, they're doing now with Dak. But he gets in the lineup. He wins 11 consecutive games, the most in franchise history, and plays so well, and the locker room and the coaches are so committed to this guy that Tony Romo, franchise record holder in almost every category for a franchise that has Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman as quarterbacks, can't get a shot to get his job back.
It's crazy. I mean,
that's how well he played. It's the kind of personality and leadership that he provided these guys. And so it's not surprising then, you know, fast forward to last year, he gets hurt against the Giants, and I think it was a psychologically devastating thing to the entire team. And really, they lost their season right then because they had revealed how flawed they were, and Dak was the only one capable individually of concealing all those flaws and making them competitive enough to try to achieve their goals. And so now he's, you know, back trying to overcome that injury. Now he's been shut down because of a shoulder strain. And, oh, the season's less than 30 days away.
Yeah. And on a personal side of it, Dak, we get to see a lot of him in this first episode and what he's all about. And we're analyzing the shoulder, sure, but he had a tragedy last April. He got paid this past offseason. Can you take us through kind of those specifics of him as the rookie you saw in 2016 and how this past year might have changed his life in ways that maybe not even he could have foreseen?
Well, he's had the great misfortune of, you know, dealing with the death of a close family member because his mom died, Peggy, while he was in college, and he managed to persevere through that. And then his brother died last year. And all at the same time, he's, you know, recovering from the first major injury of his NFL career. He had the worst possible thing happen to him as a franchise tag quarterback. And he's the only franchise tag quarterback in the history of the Cowboys. And he gets franchise tagged. And then he has to deal with the fact that he only played five games. And are the Cowboys still going to be willing to commit, you know, a significant amount of money to him at that point, having seen only five games and not knowing if physically he's going to ever be the same guy he was before after this dislocated ankle and compound leg fracture? But again, he wins the negotiation under the most adverse circumstances possible. And again, he finally gets paid. When I talked to him out there at training camps, he was beginning his sixth season. He seemed like he was really thoroughly content. He was a guy in my mind who had finally had the long overdue contract that removed, you know, any lingering doubt about the Cowboys' commitment to him. And he appeared, you know, fully assured, at least in his own mind, that he'd overcome the leg injury, the first serious injury of his career, and then suffers a shoulder strain. And we have not seen him throw fully since that time. And Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, both Hall of Fame players who know from experience how this franchise manages injuries with its most prominent players, have expressed concern after visiting Cowboys camp, wondering if the injury is more serious than the team has admitted. In fact, we had Michael Irvin as a guest on our Doomsday podcast last week, and he said, hey, I noticed that Dak would perform a drill and then flip the ball left-handed to the ball boy from 2 yards away.
Not a good sign.
Right arm. And he said, so how can you tell me, if you can't give me 2 yards now, how can I believe that you're going to give me 60 yards against Tampa Bay a month from now?
Yeah, and that is coming rapidly. That is a month away, that week one game against the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You said it to start this off, there's almost been a fortune of yours to be around the Cowboys during the Jerry Jones era. And for people who are diving into Hard Knocks, and they might not be hardcore NFL fans, we've seen the Cowboys twice before on Hard Knocks. Now it's the third time. On the 1 to 10 level, as far as the circus goes, how are the 2021 Cowboys looking? There's usually lots of things going on, and Jerry's usually right there out in front.
Well, we'll see what the Hard Knocks cameras reveal that we haven't seen to this point. There's always something. But so far, other than Dak's injury, there hasn't been anything that has caused people a great deal of alarm. You know, it was interesting when they started training camp how emotional Jerry was as he talked about his advancing age and the fact that he'd give anything, although I would suggest almost anything is more accurate, to win another Super Bowl. And he basically confessed, in my mind, for the first time, took ownership of the fact that his partnership with Jimmy Johnson, who went into the Hall of Fame, you know, just a couple of days ago, was fractured beyond repair and ended prematurely. And, you know, you talk to those guys, Peter, and it's Darren Woods and Troy Aikman. They all are angry still about the fact they never got to fulfill their potential in the 90s, that they could have been the New England Patriots of now had, you know, that relationship between Jerry and Jimmy worked out. But I think it's been a kind of a calm camp, with the exception of, you know, not knowing what the situation really is with Dak.
And if Dak's the offensive player everyone's focusing on, amazingly, there's a rookie wearing the number 11, which is not a normal number that we're used to seeing at linebacker, who has been turning heads, and the HBO cameras were fixated on him the entire first episode. Who is Micah Parsons? What are we getting with Micah Parsons? And is this going to be the next great Dallas Cowboys defensive leader?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been every indication of that at this point. And, you know, they had him as the number 4 overall player on their board and as the number 1 defensive player available in the draft. And they picked him. You know, I think that they had probably similar grades on a couple of cornerbacks, J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain, and they were drafted immediately in front of Dallas. And I think if that hadn't happened, in all likelihood, because of position need, that's the tiebreaker in their draft evaluation system, then I think they would have taken one of the corners over Micah Parsons. But Micah Parsons is a really dynamic player, great speed, quickness. I think there, you know, some people, coaches have questions about his ability to cover and drop and play in the box. Doesn't have a lot of experience playing middle linebacker, but I think every indication is he's probably going to get more snaps at linebacker as a rookie than any of the returning players. And that would be Jalen Smith, who led them in tackles last year, Leighton Van Der Esch, who was a first round pick, who's had a bad injury history. And then Keanu Neal, who Dan Quinn brought in from Atlanta. I mean, I think Parsons has really looked like a guy who at the very least is going to create pressure on the quarterback. You know, Jalen Smith's a good rusher. I think they're going to have a unique pass rush. Randy Gregory has stood out in camp. DeMarcus Lawrence should be getting back involved here pretty soon now that he's off the PUP list. So, you know, I think Dan Quinn has indicated that he's going to create a lot of different defensive packages around Micah Parsons. And so while it's fully possible, Peter, he starts from, you know, week one against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in Tampa, I think he's going to be heavily involved regardless of what that role is if he doesn't win the starting job.
Yeah, and in this premiere episode, we're getting kind of the broad strokes on this team. We're learning about McCarthy and where he's at. We get the Dak Prescott. We get the Zeke Elliott. We get the Micah Parsons. But in 2017, I was in Canton, Ohio that very weekend in August when you were inducted to the Hall of Fame as a McCann Award winner as for your lifetime achievements as a sports writer. Give us a storyline that we should be following for the Dallas Cowboys 2021 team as we're just one episode down, but we still have several more to go with Hard Knocks.
I just think the team's fate really depends on Dan Quinn's ability to get the defense to play at a high level. You know, I think an interesting topic to follow is, you know, you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. When Ezekiel Elliott joined the Cowboys in 2016, the same draft as Dak as the, you know, fourth overall pick, that was a Jason Garrett team. It was a team that had built around the offensive line, imposing its will, a lot of three first-round picks on the offensive line, then Zeke Elliott to come in and pound the football, make big plays, you know, dominate time of possession, protect the defense. Well, that's not the way Mike McCarthy's ever played. Mike McCarthy has always run his offense through his quarterback, and we saw that happen early last year with Dak and the fact he was leading the NFL in passing when he went down, had three 450-yard passing games. So I think it's interesting that Ezekiel Elliott, because I think he felt like he failed last year, had his worst season across the board, almost by any measure, had all the turnovers, six fumbles, led running backs, didn't have a great year by any stretch. But, you know, again, I think he's down to 218 pounds. He hired a coach in the offseason to work on his quickness. He changed his diet, hired a chef. 218 pounds is the least he's weighed since he began playing football at a high level at Ohio State his freshman year. But my question is Mike McCarthy ever going to run the football enough for Ezekiel Elliott, no matter what kind of shape he's in, to contend for rushing championships? He's won two early in his career. I'm not sure McCarthy's ever going to use him enough to give him a chance to do it again. But I think McCarthy recognizes he can be a valuable part of a winning franchise. But I think that's an interesting storyline to watch with Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, or justify his high price tag. He won a negotiating showdown 2 years ago over the Cowboys, being paid as one of the highest running backs in all of football. You would argue maybe after last season, he hasn't been a return on that investment. My last question for you, because you're so great. I love reading all your stuff always and listening to you on the Doomsday podcast. And of course, over the years, as you follow the Cowboys, but you always have this personal touch and the storytelling ability. As we're getting to know Jerry Jones at this age and at this stage of his career, can you give us your best Ed Werder Jerry Jones story from over three decades of covering the Dallas Cowboys?
My very best one. So one of my favorites is back when I began covering the Cowboys, you know, I mentioned this fractured relationship between Jimmy and Jerry. So you were either a Jimmy guy or you were a Jerry guy. And being a traditionalist, I always thought it was kind of Jerry who was crossing the line. So I was kind of supportive of Jimmy's position. And so this was known throughout the Jones family, obviously, that I was more of a Jimmy supporter than I was a Jerry supporter. And at one point, you know, after Jimmy was gone, Troy Aikman was the starting quarterback. He was injured before a Monday night football game and out against Washington. And I ran into Jerry in the hotel lobby. And earlier in the week, as part of our pregame, I had done a sit down with Jerry Jones one-on-one in which I addressed all of his flaws as a general manager, all of his decision-making, all the bad draft picks, the good picks. And he was fairly honest in his appraisal and admitted to some mistakes. So it was pretty good TV. And so I told Jerry, I said, hey, Jerry, you know, that interview we did earlier in the week, it's going to be on ESPN in the pregame show. And he said, what time's that going to be on?
That's a great invitation.
And I said, well, I don't know, but I can find out. If you want me to, I'll make a call. I'll find out. I'll come tell you. And he said, let's do that, Ed. He says, come to my room, come to my suite, and let me know what time that's going to be on. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So I found out and I go and knock on the door of his suite and, you know, they open the door and they let me in and the whole Jones family is in the suite and they're all looking at me like, why is he here? Well, he does not belong in our presence, in our private suite. Why is Ed Werder here? And Jerry, realizing the moment, says, it's okay. It's okay. Ed's doing a real nice story on me tonight on ESPN. Man. And I said, Jerry, I interrupt Ryan. Jerry, I did not say it was going to be... And he said, well, nice in the sense it's going to be 2.5 minutes on ESPN.
Just wanted the real estate. Just wanted the real estate. You can say whatever you want. As long as it's his face on it, he was cool.
Exactly. Exactly.
That sums it up great. Ed, I can't thank you enough. We're one episode into Hard Knocks. We're going to take it all the way through, right up until the final days of cuts. I appreciate you doing this. And real quickly, your under-the-radar personality on this Cowboys team that maybe the NFL films and the HBO producers can focus on in the last four episodes.
Maybe Kazi, the safety that came over from Atlanta with Dan Quinn.
Okay. Kazi. I'm in. Kazi. Kazi's going to be our Emmy-winning personality. Ed Werder, thank you. Where can we listen to you on the podcast?
Shrakes, thanks for having me on as your guest. I appreciate it. The Doomsday Podcast is available any place, most podcasts, including, I assume, this one.
It is awesome. Ed Werder, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. See you during the season.
Ed's great. And though he thinks he's seen it all, maybe he hasn't because Micah Parsons has entered the picture. Yeah, Micah Parsons could end up being the biggest star on the Cowboys this season, and he's just a rookie. Parsons is my pick for Episode 1's MVP award. And though he gave a few sound bites early on in the season premiere of Hard Knocks, where he compares himself to a lion, and that's cool and all, it's his performance in the preseason debut that has me and just about every other NFL observer buzzing. See, Parsons was everywhere in the Cowboys Hall of Fame game versus the Steelers. He was also calling the plays, something incredibly rare for a rookie in his first game. Parsons was the best player on the field in his first ever professional game. He recovered a fumble, he was sniffing out running plays. And while speaking with first-year Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn during the game, we get the feeling he wanted to do just a little bit more.
Hello?
Yo, Mike, it's DQ.
Yo.
All right, so tell me about on the Bison, what can you do with your lineman?
Wide and out.
Yeah, and that way you can fucking edge set and turn the ball back into all the big guys. Hey, that's the ones we learned from, and you got some of the ones in, and... The ones I'd say on the mobile, like be super fucking aggressive. That's your call to go fucking dog somebody.
Can I get one more?
Nope, that's it for tonight.
I'm just getting like warmed up, adjusted.
Me too. So that's it.
All right.
That was not enough.
I agree. But we get an extra one, so you'll get plenty next week.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Peace.
All right.
This sucks.
You got hot too, right?
I was just starting to feel comfortable.
Corner will take the edge. You know what I mean?
He wouldn't let you play anymore? Did you ask him?
Parsons wanted more. And hey, guess what, Micah? So did we. In addition to naming my MVP, each episode, I would like to wrap the show by giving you something I'm interested in that I believe is worth tracking for next week. This time around, it's that right shoulder from Dak Prescott. Now, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a trainer, and though I'm not panicking yet, I sure would like to see Dak Prescott throwing again in practice, and throwing a lot. He was back on the field as of Tuesday late afternoon, but it was limited in what he was doing. The season starts in less than 30 days.
The Cowboys play Tom Brady and the most feared defense in the entire league down in Tampa Bay that Thursday night. Dak Prescott needs the reps. He needs the practice. The Cowboys need him healthy. If he's not out there, could be a long, long year for not only America's team, but for Jerry Jones, the owner, as well. And that's it for this week's episode of the Hard Knocks podcast. This show was produced by HBO Sports and NFL Media. Make sure to check out the Hard Knocks Instagram page at Hard Knocks HBO for exclusive clips from training camp all week long. You can access even more Hard Knocks content on NFL.com. And as always, listeners, we want to hear from you. So tweet me at pschrags, that is pschrags on Twitter, and give us your feedback. Maybe there's something or someone you'd like to learn more about, or there's a particular guest you would like to hear from on the show. Give me a shout. We'll do our best. Again, I'm your host, Peter Schrager. This was produced by Grant Rutter and Trey Booty. Make sure to stream episode 2 of Hard Knocks next Tuesday on HBO Max. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. We'll be back with a new episode next week. Thanks for listening.